This podcast was made possible by Hot Source Yoga. Are you in Santa Cruz and looking to get or stay fit? You gotta check out Hot Source Yoga in Aptos. It is by far our favorite yoga studio with lots of classes to choose from, and they even offer childcare. I've been hitting the Hot Source Yoga Sculpt, and I've never felt or looked any better. And guess what? They also offer a 30-hour Hot Pilates teacher training online so you can get certified from the comfort of your own home.
Ready to make your own dreams come true? The founder, Nicole, is also a life coach miracle worker who has helped hundreds of women and girls empower themselves to make their dreams a reality. Nicole offers sessions in person or online. Use code SHAMELESS for $20 off your first coaching session at NicoleDuke.com and be sure to visit HotSourceYogaStudio.com to see why it's our latest obsession. I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
I still have a head cold. I still sound terrible. Maybe people like this voice. This is my new sick, sultry phone sex operator voice.
Yeah, it's nasally.
Yeah, someone's into it. Are you into it? Are you into it? Do you like it?
It's your librarian voice.
You want me to snot all over you?
Yeah.
Yeah. The wetter, the better.
Oh,
just
man.
Kidding.
No, I'm kind of slow moving today, too. I just did a 90-minute hot yoga class at Hot Source Yoga in Aptos. Shout out if you're in there with me and you're listening.
Getting ripped. Well, that one's more like getting calm and peaceful.
Yeah.
And ripped. I feel strong from that, too. I mean, obviously the hot Pilates and the sculpt, but Bikram works so well.
90 minutes is a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Sweating out your pores. I'm about to go there right now, actually.
They're not allowed to call it Bikram anymore.
Who said?
Bikram.
I thought he's exiled.
That's why
it's
called hot. It's like a hot 26.
Isn't he exiled from the country and can't do shit anymore? Because he
doesn't matter. They can't use the Bikram name.
I don't know if he can do anything about it anymore. I could be wrong.
I don't know if you really want to be associated with Bikram after watching that Netflix documentary.
That was fucking heavy.
I was like, oh, man.
What did he keep saying at the end? He's like, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
Like, smart move. Smart move, buddy.
You look like a jackass. Oh, my God. So this podcast is not sponsored by Bikram, but...
Definitely not.
This episode we recorded with Sex Talk with My Mom podcast.
It was so much fun in LA.
I love them.
So much fun. They're such a funny team. Obviously mother-son.
Adorable.
And they're part of the Pleasure Podcast Network, which we kind of talk about. And you might hear that the guy's voice. This is part of the Pleasure Podcast.
Is that his voice? That Cam's
voice?
It's
not Cam's voice.
That's not Cam.
Voiceover voice.
Yeah, that's like some professional voiceover voice. Who did they hire? Who's that dude?
I don't know. I would not be good at that.
I should do that right now with this nasally.
This podcast is brought to you by Legend.
We love them. We love recording with other podcasters. And you know, there is an interesting story because they are a mother son sex podcast talking about sex all the time, and you get to see their dynamic, and it's adorable.
You learn about them. Their story is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
how they got started. So stay tuned, and you'll learn. But it's like tragic, but then it's really amazing.
And we dive into lots of other things too. It's not just about their story and their wonderful. And so we'll read the bio in a little bit, but I'll make sure you check out Sex Talk with My Mom podcast. It's on all of the apps. And we're going to answer a sex question. Oh, before we do, just shout out, you all know holidays are right around the corner. And if you want some sex toys, our listeners get 15% off with coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
.com.
Go buy your love of the biggest dildo.
It's www.
Bush.
https://.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. This isn't still the year 2000. Okay, sex question?
I'm ready. I don't even know what it is yet.
Oh, you are going to be so excited.
I can't wait.
This is from an anonymous human who says, years ago when my wife and I were first dating, she wrote in her diary that my penis was tiny and she thought another man she had been sleeping with was hotter than me. We've talked about it briefly and have been married for many years. I haven't fully gone over it, even though I know she loves me. Additionally, I've become increasingly turned on knowing she thinks I'm small down there. I'm good looking. We have regular sex, but she doesn't really say anything or show much emotion or passion in bed. So I think I may have conditioned myself to get turned on in alternative ways. Thoughts on this? It's not really a question. I think they're asking, am I normal? Like, what's up with this?
I've been in my head before when I've hooked up with people wondering if, you know, knowing they've hooked up with other people that I know, like wondering if like I'm...
Because you want to be the best.
Yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if they're enjoying this or and getting in my head about it. And then also thinking about, I don't know, if I'm turning them on as much as like this person did. And that shit's just whack. It's like not good for anybody.
Yeah.
Like it's better to just think about what you're experiencing, in my opinion, because I've had a snap out of that because it was just, I feel like they could pick up on my energy of not being totally tuned in.
But this person's using it to actually get a,
but it took him some time. Turned on. And I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, but he's like... He's saying like this actually gets me aroused now. Is that normal? You know, is like there's this thing that I read that didn't sound that awesome. I was like, oh, she's essentially saying that there's someone, my wife and sleep with someone and who's is hotter than me and my penis is tiny. And we have disconnect, not disconnect sex, but she's not very, doesn't have a lot of emotion or passion in sex, yet I still get really turned on by the idea of her thinking my penis is tiny. Mm. And like, is this normal? I've conditioned myself to get turned on in alternative ways. And
totally. So, I think that's awesome.
And yeah, what comes to mind for me is actually fetishes, and which is a recent topic that we've been talking about this last week. And
definitely come up.
How fetishes can be, and I'm not saying this is not necessarily a fetish, but the interesting thing with fetishes is like, you know, you can have something that happens in your childhood and you can either, it can be traumatic and you can either be like, I never want that to happen again and it actually is triggering and you don't want anything to do with it. Or it can actually, it can also be eroticized where now it's like, and it's your system's way of, I think the theory is that it's your system's way of working through that hurt or trauma or wounding in the sexual realm, and it becomes eroticized, and now it becomes like a turn on as a way of coping. So I wouldn't say this is necessarily like a tiny penis fetish, but maybe that's what this person, what he did, what you did, listener. Your brain kind of conditioned itself to eroticize this thing as opposed to feeling maybe the pain from or the hurt from it, from reading that and feeling, I don't know if you felt inadequate or what the feelings were there, but that's totally possible. It's kind of a brilliant system. I think it's can be probably helpful instead of people feeling this like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not, you know, we live in this like big rock hard cock centric culture, which isn't helpful because
also,
always that.
If tiny penis owners, great for anal.
Great for anal.
Great for anal, for sure.
Yeah, totally. There's so much you can do with all kinds of shapes and sizes of penises. And yeah, so that, I don't know. I think that this person, they're asking their thoughts. It makes sense. And they're not really asking about like what to do about their wife who doesn't show a lot of emotion or passion in bed.
They're more or less just asking if...
It's kind of like, yeah,
is this okay? Is this normal?
Thing? Yeah.
And it's like, fuck yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's totally great. If this is something, if you're feeling good about it, if you're like, oh, this actually turns me on, then knock yourself out. If you feel like it's an issue in your connection, then that's something to have a conversation with your partner about and to come clean. Like, hey, I read your diary years ago. I read this thing that's kind of haunting me, but it sounds like it's kind of haunting you in a good way. You're having some turn
roll
on
with
some
it.
Rock
roll
it.
With it.
A more arousal, the better, my book. Thank you for writing, anonymous listener. Always interesting to hear different people's experiences. Are you ready for a bio?
Yes, I can't wait.
Sex Talk with My Mamacita, also known as my mom, offers sex and relationship advice while exploring the dynamic between a sexually liberated cougar mom and her comedian son. He's actually a mime, right? Mime comedian? No, not. He's not a clown. He's a mime.
A mime. He's not really a mime, though. That's just what their album cover.
Okay. He's a comedian.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's like, what? We got to go check this out. They feature guests ranging from legendary porn star Nina Hartley to their previous sexual partners. They have The Talk every Monday and Thursday to make you laugh and open a conversation around sex. Esquire ranked them one of the top podcasts Top of the Best Sex Podcast, and they have been featured on Megyn Kelly Today and Comedy Central's Tosh.0. To learn more, go to sextalkwithmymom.com or look up this podcast on all the podcast apps. They're everywhere, as are we. We're all part of the same family. Support us all. Check them out. Are you ready to dive in?
Whoa, I just wanted to add, we also recorded on their podcast, so check us out on theirs too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like part one and part two. Yeah, and they're both very different,
yeah,
but they go together like yep, mom and son.
Like peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah.
Like mom and son? Oh, my God, that's adorable. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, wait. They were going to do an intro separate what? From this already, so that's not how we start.
Oh.
Yeah. That's okay. We'll still start it that
yeah,
way. Hey, y'all.
Just
welcome.
Excited to be here.
We are in L.A., Los Angeles. We are in a wonderful recording studio with Cam. It's Karen Lee or Karen Lee?
Karen Lee.
Karen Lee of Sex Talk with My Mom. Wonderful podcast. Yep. This is the mother and son duo who talk all about sex online and on the air. And we're also part of their podcast network, by the way. We are all part of a little family. And so we absolutely love them and what they offer and that for including us in the little podcast.
And we just recorded an episode with you.
Yes.
And it was amazing. It didn't really feel like the amount of time. It was like over an hour and
it flew.
I was like, let's keep talking. It's so aww, fun.
So happens when you get podcasters together. They're just like, blah, blah, blah,
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thanks for being
sex
here though. Yes, with us.
Oh, it's thank our you pleasure for having us.
Yeah, I know.
So just to let our listeners know, you're going to hear that this is them on our show. But if you want, it's kind of like a part one, part two-ish. So if you want more of this episode, go to their podcast and listen. And if you don't want more of this episode, still go to their podcast, Sex Talk with My Mom. And they have all kinds of awesome speakers and guests that come on there. And so it's a little different than
it's
ours.
It's super funny, too. Yeah. I love your dynamic together is really fun.
Thank you.
Will you tell our listeners more about who you two are?
Of course.
Cam, there's a picture of you on the wall. You're a mime. And Karen Lee, are you a squirrel? What's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
She's a cougar.
Oh, yeah. Cougar.
Okay.
Oh,
and the reason we came up with cougar is I have reinvented the word to be a confident, older, unique, genuine, assertive, and racy woman.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little acrostic poem.
That's badass.
I like that.
And I could honestly say I think both of you are cougars.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's an high honor for my
I was
going
to go like bobcat, but
what about
I don't
jaguar
have a... Yeah. No, I like cougar, though.
Puma.
Yeah, and I'm a mime. There's no acronym to that. It's just...
M-I-M-E, mime clown.
A trained clown, yeah. So, but yeah, I guess we could launch in and explain why the hell I talk about sex with my mom.
Yeah, that would
twice
be awesome.
A week.
How did you get here? How did you get where you are today?
Well,
it's a tragedy and a comedy.
She gave birth to me is the first
that
thing
was a comedy.
And we always had like a very open communication style. It didn't sound as much like your guys' upbringing because she was constantly.
I love when his friends would come over and we'd just gather around and talk about sex, relationships, everything till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It was fun. He also has an older sister who we don't have that exact dynamic with and a younger brother. Oh. So, but I'm more, I mean, obviously this podcast is added to it, but I think we're more open about things.
Yeah. You've always been very open with them too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm open with all three kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway,
go on.
Okay. So then when I was 17, my dad passed away suddenly. Hmm. He was murdered.
Whoa.
Pretty intense.
That's heavy.
Is it in Chicago?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. This was in Chicago. He owned a construction company, and one day one of his employees came in who was disgruntled about something that had happened the day before, and he took out a knife out of the kitchen and stabbed him to death.
Oh, my God.
So from there, we kind of were like, whoa, what the fuck is going on with our lives? This is nuts. You know, and ultimately, we became much closer. Because we had to be close to get through that type of tragedy.
Yeah. And I had to run a construction company, and it was you know, obviously the most horrifying thing can happen to any family. Mm. So I decided after like 6 months or so of grieving that it was time for me to go out in the dating world again. And so I you know, looked online.
Which is that's a pretty quick turnaround.
But yeah, I'm like, that's my personality, though. You know what? You know, when one door closes, another opens. So I'm like, okay, I was married for 24 years, monogamous. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this an opportunity to go get laid.
Yeah. Get it, Mom.
Yeah.
And so I looked online, you know, to see if there's any, like, you know, anything on the line, women talking about what it's like to reinvent yourself after a death or a divorce. There's nothing out there. Mostly young 20-year-olds talking about sex or whatever, relationships, which I couldn't identify with. So I had...
When was this, 2006?
Probably 2007. Yeah, it's like, you know, a long time ago. And, I go online, I see nothing, so I said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. I'll just make my own YouTube channel, talk about the dates that I've been on, and see if I can interview guests and help women reinvent themselves. And I got like about 100 views a month, which is not very good. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I think women my age do not know how to work YouTube. They may not actually know how to work computers even. So there were no cell phones really at that point. Or maybe there were cell phones, but they were not like they are today.
Now, yeah.
No. And so I created this YouTube channel, and I found that the only people viewing it were guys, like 18 to 35-year-old men. Oh. Looking
horny
for
dudes.
Wow. Horny dudes.
That's your following.
Yeah. It's just like another, if you can't beat them, join them. I'll just bring on some, you know, porn stars and sexologists and, you know, older friends, older women that are, you know, more, you know, cougarish. I reinvented the word cougar, and I decided to just like, you know, embrace the older woman, younger man relationship, which I currently have been in for the last, almost 12 years.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Sort of like reverse of you.
Yeah. No, it is.
Anyway, at the same time, Cam's in college.
Yeah. And I'm discovering slowly that my mother's YouTube channel, which I thought was intended for women, was no longer intended for women. It was intended for men my age.
Yeah.
who were looking for women like my mother. And I would come across them, these videos in various forms. Like sometimes my friends would think it's hilarious and they find it and they'd send it to me.
Look at your mom.
Oh, look at your mom. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. That's my, and I'd be like, I'd look, and I'm like, oh no, that's my bedroom.
That was the only place that was good lighting for recording.
I came home from, I remember like a Thanksgiving break or something, and I went to my bedroom and I was like, oh, she put this nice like chaise lounge in my chair or in my room. That's so sweet that she's trying to decorate when I'm gone.
Nope, it's her sex room.
Yes.
No, sex room. It was not a sex room, first of all.
Yes, it was a sex studio.
It was a sex room. It was just a good, you know, there was a bedroom that was open. Your younger brother had the other one, so I had to use that bedroom.
So you never had sex in there ever?
No, it was like an O-ring.
But my brother's friends did, which I was not used for.
Oh my God, that is true. That is a hilarious story in itself.
I got in this bed. I told my brother, I said, you just don't let any of your friends fuck in my bed. And then I get in the bed after like being gone for many months, and there's a crusty, huge stain.
Oh no!
And I pulled off the sheets and I brought them downstairs. And I was like, "What the fuck is this? Oh, who did this?"
I spilled some milkshake.
And his brother's so sweet. He's like, "I told him not to have sex in your bed."
Yeah, that's, you know,
to this day he's still very upset.
All right, we're getting sidetracked, Cam.
Okay, so basically, I was discovering my mother's tips on penis size and
well, I was just saying it's not important.
Or oral sex tips, all this shit that I was now. One time I was looking for myself, like tips for myself, and I came across her videos, and I was like, it's gotten out of hand.
Mom is the resource for sex now.
Yes.
It was that way. It's now since switched.
Yes.
But anyway.
So then eventually she came out with a book called A Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There.
Still trying to give more information to women again.
That's awesome.
But he ended up selling them in his stand-up comedy routines.
Yeah. I was doing stand-up and reading passages. It was very fun.
From your mom's book.
Yes.
He sold a lot of books that way. It's still on Amazon if you want to buy it.
The Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There.
Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There by Karen Lee Potter. And I still make sales on Amazon. Now I've got a new book coming out. One of these days, it's going to be called Fuck Games, Date Cougars. This is for men.
She's really embracing this identity.
I love that.
Own that.
Seriously. We need more of that.
Cougars knows what's up.
Yeah, so eventually, I was doing full sets about my mother, and people kept coming up and being like, is this real? like, why? And I'm like, why would I make this up?
Yeah.
Of all the things, it's like what you were said on our show, which was like, why would I make this stuff up on our podcast?
Totally.
Like, I don't have time for that bullshit.
Right.
And eventually I was like, well, if they don't believe this is real, I can show them that it is by doing a podcast with her. And so that's what we've been doing for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And you still have the YouTube channel too, right?
I still got my YouTube channel, which I renamed Karen Lee Love, if you want to check that out. But my main passion is the podcast.
You've been on like the Today Show.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of media, like a mainstream media, which is awesome.
Yeah. The two of us were on Megyn Kelly Today.
Oh, yeah. We were on Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. We just got a residual check from Tosh.0 when we were on Tosh.0.
Which nice.
We've been on some high quality
awesome.
Shows.
Like Tosh.0 is pretty
Kelly
badass.
Megyn Kelly Today and Daniel Tosh.
And Playboy. We run a Playboy channel.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
And there is often it's the angle of the mother son talking about sex angle that you're talking about there.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They set up a whole bed.
Well, is anything off limits for you two? I mean, are you pretty
it's
open
a good question.
Or is there anything that's kind of like, no, I don't want to talk about that, mom?
We started with a lot of limits. You know, at first we did not want to talk about anal. And then it was like, all right, well, we talked about anal. So now it's just...
Would you talk about having anal or just talk about anal?
I think talk about anal.
Okay. We've had the pleasure mechanics on that gave explicit instructions about anal.
Oh.
I've actually never had anal.
Whoa.
Oh. Believe it or not. Giving or receiving?
Neither.
Ooh. Wow. Nothing. Not even a finger?
Finger play, but nothing into the ass. No.
Okay.
See, and you can talk about this with your mom here.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you talk? Can you say the same thing with him?
Oh, yeah. He's already heard every detail. He's
okay. You like
anal. You guys overcame all the barriers.
So then it went to squirting, and now we talked about squirting. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what the fuck.
There's not
I don't
a lot
know
of,
what's left.
I mean,
we've talked about anal and squirting.
I think we're very respectful for it's like we know where to walk the line of where it's getting uncomfortable. Like one time, we interviewed a phone sex operator, and she just, well, it's because Cam decides to ask her if she
oh,
would.
Oh, blame this on me.
You did. You said, will you have an orgasm on the phone?
She said she comes on podcasts and she comes. And so then later in the show, I was like, hey, what was that line about you coming on podcasts? And
yeah, it just made her came. Excited.
Yeah.
She
did it. Oh, she decided, wow. At the time I was living in Chicago, Cam was living in, where were you?
LA.
I was LA. Anyway, and so we're on Skype. And we hear her having this orgasm, and it was so awkward. She's like, Cam, I'm coming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it gets... It does
get awkward. When real sex gets involved, it gets very uncomfortable.
But honestly, there's not a lot at this point that we couldn't share, which is such a comfortable place to be. And that's kind of one of the major missions of our podcast is to let people know, like, yeah, this is okay. And it's actually really good if you can talk about it with people.
Similar to you guys.
Yeah.
It's so true. If you can talk to your children, especially, because... Your parents, even though sometimes you don't want to hear it from them, you're still a resource for your kids, right?
Yeah.
Now there's so much media available to the masses. It's important to be like, hey, porn isn't your education.
Exactly.
Don't use porn to educate yourself. It's an entertainment tool.
Right.
And so I love that it's an open conversation. And
thank you.
The discomfort sometimes is where things really can be effective.
Well, that's where the growth is.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Cam's tagline.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Say it, Cam.
Oh, it's uncomfortable to get uncomfortable.
No, it's uncomfortable to talk about sex.
Oh, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I should know that if that's my tagline. That's your tagline now.
We got to write it down on a whiteboard up here.
No, but it's in our opener of every podcast.
It doesn't mean I say it every podcast. It's just I recorded it
once.
Okay. And now
well,
it's,
whatever. It's important to talk about uncomfortable conversations. And this podcast has helped us become much more comfortable.
Shameless.
Yeah, then it's
and
not
you
comfortable.
You get to spend quality time with each other. I would consider this, because this is our quality time with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it is fun, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It does get a little dicey with the business side of things. Like,
totally.
Does it, for you guys, does it get like businessy?
Where it's like always business? Like we're talking business all the time?
Yes.
We have very interesting flow.
Yeah.
And if there's ever something like one of us is feeling like we need more support in certain aspects, I feel like we're really good about voicing it.
Yeah.
And Amy's definitely the captain of our ship. And yeah, I'm the first mate.
Yeah,
you know?
We were I hear you. Yeah. We were talking about
that I'm Batman and Robin in some ways, and then you're Batman and Robin in other ways. So yeah. We have different ways where we balance it out. And so there's just different things. Like, I mean, I bring in much more of the education. April is like, I mean, she's the funny one, you know, the entertainer. And she's also like the hustler, the business hustler. She handles, like, she closes the deals and she's
like, no, we need twice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some other things.
It's a balance. No. And we have so much hard. In common.
And free toys.
Yes, we need all the free toys.
And we have so much in common, and just friendship-wise, that when we meet up to record podcasts, we're still before and after talking about life. And like, you know, so it doesn't just turn into business for us, but we have the business component as well.
I know,
were there boundaries for you guys at first about what you could talk about?
Well, no, because it all started because we were both single at the same time. And so we wanted to talk about our dating escapades and our sex escapades because we would talk about it. And we were on Sex with Emily's podcast.
Yeah, we've been there too.
Yeah, yeah, and she's so great. And we were her most listened to podcast of 2017 because the title was like, what was it?
It was orgasm squirting in the year of anal licking.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I definitely tune into that one.
It was really fun. And people gave us such great feedback. Like, you two need your own show, but it was like never something that we like put boundaries on ourselves. We're like, no, if we're going to do this, let's be shameless. Like, I had an Instagram private profile at the time. And I was like, no, don't approach me. I'm like a business person. You know?
Oh, wow.
That changed.
Times have changed. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Now I'm running for president.
But, you know, you can grab him by the pussy.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
So do you two have boundaries that you, like, because I know that you said nothing's off limits, but
I mean,
it seems like it's shifted.
Like, I don't go into graphic detail about my sex life with my boyfriend, with Cam. He doesn't really need to hear this.
Okay.
Right? Would you say I go into?
Yeah, I don't need to hear that.
He's shaking. Like, no.
But he does it at times. I mean, I don't think you give me that much detail about when you're in.
I don't have a lot of detail. It's not that much going on.
How is dating in LA? I know, because you're dating in LA.
It's good. It's okay. It's challenging.
I wanted to ask you this. I was like wondering about that.
Yeah. It is it's a rough thing. I mean, I was just talking about this with my friend. It is a challenge. You want a date, and then you go on a date, and you're like, oh, God, I don't want to be dating. I'm not feeling the connection. Let's not date. And I'm not one of those guys where it's like I could just get drunk and go out and bang.
Does he look like one of those guys?
No.
Does he sound like one of those guys?
No.
Thank you.
He's way too intellectual and deep.
And nice.
A respectful man.
But it's a tough line to actually walk because – I feel those inclinations despite, you know, wanting a connection with someone. Like, I want to have sex with people, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I do want to, you know, a relationship as well.
Then you're like, I have a sex podcast with my mom. And they're like, what?
Yes, and that is like, also true.
I want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a sex podcast to talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, that's not always the case. Yeah.
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 So are you finding then that when you say what you do that more people are interested, less interested? Like, what are you seeing? Are they excited? Are they a little intimidated?
Mixed reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wondered how that goes reverse because we experience it on the side of being women in this industry. Where I'm so curious about as a man.
Yeah.
I don't know the true, you know, feelings under, you know, they might say that they're cool with it. Some people are actually like, oh, it's so cool that you're sex positive and you are trying to be open with your mom about this and embrace the side of yourself. But they might be, I don't know, maybe underneath there's like, it's a sissy boy or he's a mama's boy or something like that. Mm. So I don't know.
Can I just say what about mama's boys though, just so you know, or just men who have a great relationship with their mom, if it's straight men, they're not going to have a shit ton of wounding that they're projecting on you. Like, go and date a man who's really close with his mom because that man's going to treat you real good.
I agree with you. I look at that as a bonus.
Yeah, totally. And I've dated men of major mom woundings,
yeah.
And it's like all directed at me. I mean, I'm constantly triggering that for them. Mm-hmm. But men who I've dated who are really solid with their moms, there's so much less of that. And yeah. same thing. You know, I have daddy issues, so of course. Sorry, guys, that I'm dating.
No, but it's 100% true. It's especially like if you see a good role model. He had a good role. My husband and I had a good marriage, so he saw like a genuine respect for each other. So I think that was helpful to you as a person to grow up that way.
Yeah, I also think it is interesting what pushes us to want a romantic partner, mm-hmm. and I think that emotional connection and being able to depend on someone could often be the thing that leads people into relationships. Mm-hmm. Whereas I have that with my family, especially my mom, my friends. And so I don't, that is not always the driving force. There is, you know, right now it probably, now things have shifted. And I think I am creating that boundary where it's like, you know, I have my own personal life. You know, I want to regulate my own emotions without my mom's help. And so now there is more of a drive. I'm 30. There's, you know, I think it would be nice just to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little baby.
Yeah. I think that with a podcast too, I don't know if your boyfriend ever gets uncomfortable with what you share, if you even talk about his name or anything on the show.
I do not. We made up a fictitious name for him called D's.
Oh. D's?
D's Nuts. For D's Nuts. He came up with that idea.
Hey, D's.
But
you immediately got it.
I think he's extremely supportive. Sometimes it is hard because he doesn't get like the nuances of like what we're talking about, like boundaries. So he'll be like, I could say that. You guys have a sex podcast. I'm like, yeah, but no, you can't say that. You know,
people do. They want to overshare when they know you have a sex podcast. Like, yeah, I just fucked 3 last night. I'm like, okay, awesome.
Yeah. I think
let me show you the cum shots.
Yeah, really. They're back to the cum shots.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's not like that, but it's like there's a certain... There's just certain things, the way he says it is just like, wait, no, you can't say that. Even he doesn't really go into details about our sex life, but it's like, he might say like, hey, you know, I watched this porn thing, Cam. And Cam's like, no, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. It is tough. It is hard to know where boundaries are. Cause they're not, it's like case by case, you know?
Yeah.
And part of figuring that out, though, is crossing them on the accident by time to time. Then that's how we figure out. So it's not that we can't cross them. We get so set and like, oh, no, we can never cross a boundary and on accident. And that's how we learn. Like, okay, yeah, Mom, that was a little too much. Or, yeah, Cam, maybe a little less of that. And you can do it in a way that's not shaming. It's just like, you know, that didn't really work for me. Like, that's your thing. That's
and we will share that with each other. Like, hey, you didn't need to talk about that.
And there's times I've overcompensated where I'm like, she asked me who I'm going to dinner with, and it could just be a friend. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah. Oh. All of a sudden he'll be like, I'm not telling you where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm like, wait a second. I would ask a stranger on the street where they're going, and you can't tell me when you're going, so what restaurant you're going to dinner. I'm not going to show up there.
When's the last time Cam brought a partner home?
I have not seen a partner.
Well, I have my own place, so she doesn't see anything.
Yeah. No, but home, like to meet Mom.
He did. And I really liked that partner.
Yeah, she wanted to create a sex toy with my partner.
Oh, wow. I did. And she would have been great. She's a very bright girl.
Still angling for this. Even
I still think it's a good idea.
I'm like, Mom, leave her alone.
Did you lose her number? Because I really think that you should bring her back.
That is what happens with his younger brother, too. And, you know, it's hard as a parent, and you get to know the other person, and then they break up, and you're like, oh, I like that girl. Why did you break up with her? Even though you know why.
Yeah.
But you got to step back and say, hey, whatever they want to do is good for them.
Yeah, support them.
I wouldn't want them telling me who to date. So,
what would be your advice, Karen Lee, to other parents who want to bridge the gap with their children about having, or, you know, their adult children about, or young children about starting to have conversations about sex? Like, because obviously it brings you closer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in this, but it's terrifying for a lot of people. Like, what would you say for them to be able to actually make that happen?
I'd say just... do it.
Yeah. Take that risk.
Take the risk, because the worst that can happen is the person's going to say, I don't want to talk about it. But at least they know you attempted. And then the next time you can, I mean, sometimes I suggest, because people do ask me that question quite frequently. Sometimes I suggest, if you wanted to open up a dialogue, just say, hey, I saw this movie where such and such happened. You know, what did you think about that? Or did you, you know, watch this Succession? They were having, you know, this person was having sex with this person. And just start talking about it, you know, as you would talk to friends, and see what the reaction is then.
Yeah.
And then you can also move on from other topics like that. Like, I heard about this. Same thing as when people say, how do I introduce, like, the idea of, like, bringing a third person into our relationship? Well, you know, if you're going to do that, just take baby steps. Talk about it, like, in a general sense of, hey, I watched this show on TV, or I heard about this person having sex with this person, and
what do you think about?
Yeah, was that high? Was that something that you ever fantasize about? And just you know, check in on the reactions. Just be curious.
And that's kind of what happened with us, where we started talking about sex, and then it started branching. And oh, we can talk about sex. Now we can talk about drugs.
Mm. Yeah.
All the time.
So true.
We smoked weed or done Molly or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, right? I don't think there's one. I mean, I used to lie to the kids all, oh, I never tried this and that. Now I'm like, hey, of course I did acid. I was a product of the 70s. Jeez.
I think if I had to guess, I have a theory about what people's fears are. But what do you think parental fears are, or the fears of the children for not approaching their parents about sex? Not being liked or being
losing rejected.
Yeah.
And I parents tend to be the figure who we most idolize, even on an unconscious level. And so if if you're ashamed at all about these things, it's against the law, or, maybe our society shames us for this. You're not going to want to tell the person you most adore that,
because parents can be very judgmental and overbearing, and it's not something that you want to risk, and you feel unsafe if you bring up the topic.
Well, there's the idea, with parents to their kids, it's like, they're my baby and they're still so pure, even though they're 25 years old. Of course, right. They're having sex, but I don't want to hear about it, la, la, la. And then on the other side, like, kids thinking their parents aren't sexual beings.
Right.
But hello, you came from sex, and like, they are sexual beings.
What's the right age to approach?
I think as early as possible. Just make it part of a normal conversation. I mean, not that you could talk about when you're in a carpool with the kids going to
with the friends
basketball
in the car.
Camp or something. Yeah. No, but it's just like, I think it's just, if you can start being comfortable talking about all these things and your own experiences with it, it's going to be comfortable to, and it's going to only bring you guys closer, which is everyone's goal anyway, isn't it? It's always the best to have a close communication with your partners or your kids or whoever,
your friends,
is in your life.
So if they're like 6 years old, you're like, have you seen this vulva puppet? Let me show you. This is the clitoris.
There's a lot of literature out there about the different levels of when kids can understand certain bits of information, right? Like a four-year-old can't comprehend certain aspects about like relationship, and you're not going to talk to them about fetish, that stuff, but more like bodies and gender and like these little ideas. That there's different ages when you can actually give them the information. So I like what you're saying. It's like a starting early with the bits that they can understand, and then you continue the conversation. You just have that birds and the bees conversation once, like, good luck out there, son.
We always ask that about our guests. We say, like, did you have like a specific conversation? And so many of them said, my mother handed me a book. And then they went away. It's like the most common response. Yeah, my mother handed me a book.
Yeah.
And the books are not good.
And what I will say, though, is I recognize it's kind of a bizarre thing to talk about sex twice a week with your mom.
Right.
And I don't think everyone should necessarily have this relationship with their parent. However, I think that attempting to go in that direction and finding out where the boundaries lie between you and your mom or parent or whoever, then strengthens that relationship, because there's no ambiguity. There's no like sitting there pretending, like putting on a show for each other, like, oh, I don't have sex or something. Yeah. You tested it. You're like, okay, I know this makes her uncomfortable. I'm not going to talk about this, and we can move on.
Yeah.
That's it.
What's unbelievable to me, though, is people can come into our room, into our studio, and they'll have this we don't even say more than hello, goodbye, and we go right into like these intense topics and things and fears and conversations and things that they had, sexual experiences that you could never have otherwise. And that's so great. We can talk about sex and with people from all over the world, and it's open.
Because you're giving them permission.
Yeah.
It's like a safe space
but
for them.
They're like, I go, you don't talk like this with your mom? They're like, no, hell no, I'm not talking about that with my mom. But I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
Why
are you avoiding that? Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I think sometimes the parent doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Isn't capable of. They don't have that emotional bandwidth to actually.
But like recently, we had a comedian on, and she called her mom, and she also was one of those, I can't talk about that with my mother thing, and she told her mother about how she was it about losing her virginity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the mother was
and the
totally.
Mother shared about
and
it.
Mother shared about her losing her virginity, and it was such a cool conversation between the two of them. It changed like a ton. Like they were both like, "Wow, this really helped." And we're like, "Oh my god, I have warm fuzzy goosebumps all over for helping people talk to their parents."
They were both kind of surprised that they were able to even talk about it.
Yeah, it probably brought them closer.
I think it did. Totally.
I wonder how many people just kind of psych themselves out thinking that they can't have those conversations, so they live a whole lifetime not opening that door. But then a lot of them, if they actually did, they realize it's actually not as bad as I thought it would
totally.
Be.
Totally.
I mean, there's a lot more of a spaciousness here for that.
Even in romantic relationships I've had, I make up in my mind, oh, if I say this, she's going to respond this way. And it's just, well, we're going to be at a stalemate. It's going to be uncomfortable. And then I actually do it, and they have a completely different response.
Yeah.
And I find it's a huge turn on, because I'm like, whoa, this is a three-dimensional character. This is not just someone who I completely understand in my mind.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
let's be honest. Deep connection is about sharing ourselves. It comes like we don't have deep connection when we withhold a whole bunch of ourselves, like, mm-hmm. or we can have limited deep connection. But it's when we really share ourselves and our, you know, how we tick and our vulnerability and our mm-hmm. fears and our desires. And, you know, the more we do that, there is such thing as oversharing. But the more we do that, the deeper the connection might be able to go, regardless of who it's with. So like it's gold, and no matter what the relationship,
and it's healing.
Yes, it's majorly healing.
It's, if you've never done it, you try it, and you're like, "Whoa, this is good."
I love listening to your podcast and hearing your like your banter, your playful banter, because you can tell
the dynamic is really cool.
It's adorable and loving, and you can both very honestly be like, "Mom, come on," you know, and you call Cam out, and it's really feels really genuine. It's like an inside look into what's really there in your relationship. Like people are invited kind of in the room into this dynamic, mm-hmm. and then you bring in guests, and so it's more than that too. But I just really appreciate, also as someone who, you know, is a sex shop with my mom, I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And I think it's more normalized for a mother-daughter to do these things together than a mother-son, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little different. And I just think that it's so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it. You guys are the best too. We had a wonderful time interviewing you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to put this on there. How many, what are we at for our time here?
We are at 30 minutes.
30 now. Minutes. Okay, cool.
We could keep going.
Well, we can let's ask them some rapid fire questions.
We've got a bunch.
You guys both, since you're open to talking about sex, it's in front of each other. What's the wildest place you've had sex?
You go first.
You know what's funny? We do this on our show as well. Rapid fire questions, and she just nails me every time.
I know.
She's like, her life is so much wilder than mine. Like the wildest, like on the floor.
You are such a wild animal.
Well, maybe like
on the floor,
in a pool, at like an apartment.
You didn't never had sex in a pool.
Not necessarily penetrative.
Wait. Oh, okay. I was gonna say I would have heard about that one.
Jesus Christ.
Do you use Uber Lube for that?
Uber Lube. That would be a great call in the pool.
Yeah,
truly. I didn't have Uber Lube on hand, so it would have been better.
Well, anyway, I can't even tell you how many weird places I've had sex. I have had places. I have had sex in front of the Treasury building.
Yeah.
I had sex in a park. My husband got mosquito bites all over his ass. I've had sex in an elevator, in an emergency exit, emergency staircase.
Wow.
All right. You want me to continue? That's enough. We'll move on to the next.
I like that. So what is the most uncomfortable situation that you've had on the show? I'm just curious.
Well, it sounds like that story that you shared about the woman having the orgasm. Yeah. I was like, you guys were in a threesome together on the phone.
It kind of was. Yeah. It was kind of like weird.
Were we recording when you shared that?
That was on this podcast, right? It was the other podcast.
I know.
If you didn't hear it yet, go to their podcast. Like, yeah.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
That was 100% the most awkward time.
Okay. Yeah, it was really awkward. And
the guy shitting too.
That wasn't awkward. That was just gross.
That wasn't on your podcast. It was an email?
An email. He wanted you to shit in a toilet.
And he wanted to eat it. It was disgusting. Okay.
We don't want to shame.
Yeah,
consensual. I'm sorry. I know that it's called shameless sex, but I'm going to shame. This guy was gross. Okay, he wanted to eat my shit.
Mom is a hard no on this. Please don't email her again.
She is yucking this guy's yum. I'm also yucking
the dick pic that I got sent this morning.
Well,
that was
not consensual.
That was
harassment.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one more question. What is something that you never done sexually that you really want to try?
Ooh.
Like a bucket list, sexy bucket list.
I mean, like, that's a hard question because, like, I really mentally want to try so many things.
Okay,
I know my chicken little self would not do these things.
Okay,
so
well, imagine
that's
if you just could, like, maybe you won't do it. Maybe we'll say, like, you don't know if you're actually going to do it, but it's on the list.
Because there's reasons that I wouldn't, like, for example, one of the things I've always said is, like, damn, I went through the 70s and 80s without getting in an orgy. I never did that.
Mom needs an orgy.
I want to do an orgy, but I also don't because I know that there's all kinds of fluids exchanging and
fluids.
And I'm not sure who these people are. And I don't think I would end up. I don't know.
She would not do well at Burning Man.
No.
We already talked about
the orgy.
No. I'm kind of like boring sexually, I think, because I really just like to have
sex in front of the trip. Boring.
I would like a real BDSM scene.
Ooh.
I've never done anything like that.
Would you be the dominator or the submitter?
I'd be down for either position, okay. But probably starting with Dom and see where it goes.
That could easily happen with your next girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm
future girlfriend.
Coming to my dungeon.
Wait, are you going to Burning Man this year? Will you go?
Yeah.
Oh God, we should go to the dungeon. Maybe. Let's do a sex podcast dungeon. They're all over.
There's
couple
dungeons.
Oh,
I forgot. I went to a whipping station.
He forgot. He did.
Whipping station. They have actual dungeons. I mean, they're like tents that they can turn into. There's a whole bunch of like whips and chains and things.
We have a whole podcast where he talked about his experience.
I recorded from the dungeon, from the whipping at.
Yeah, how did you a dungeon?
Yeah,
experience.
How did you?
Yeah, it was more of like.
Did you forget?
It was
this?
Like kitty land. It was like
kitty litter.
Kitty land.
What do you? Wait a second.
It was like light. It was like, oh, we're playing with whips.
You want the deep dive in?
Well,
there.
Wait.
I wasn't in the scene. I wasn't like. I was like reporting live from. Yeah.
Like, Cam,
man,
you want like a whip with like those things, talents hanging out of him or whatever?
No, it's more like the mind, like the role play and the, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care about the actual pain. I actually don't like the pain too
Pain's
much.
Not your jam. Yeah. It's more like the energetic pain.
You completely floored.
You hate pain. Are you kidding me? You're scared of scary movies. What do you mean you would?
I just think it would be an interesting little
role play. That's emotional pain. He likes the physical, maybe.
I guess so.
Ooh, did you get spanked as a kid?
Well, I think it might be.
Never. Never. I was not a spanker. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
And second thought, I don't love the whole idea. I forget that there's a lot of pain involved with this, but
you don't have to have pain.
You don't have
in the
to
be dungeon.
It can be like a soft, like, yeah, yeah. With feathers.
So that's what I'm talking
sensation
about.
Sensation play.
Yeah, there's floggers that are really, really soft, and
it's
is
just
more
the
about
dynamic.
Energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like, you could get hot wax, not burning hot, but like gentle hot wax massage.
Oh, he didn't like that either.
No. You don't know shit. You're not in the bedroom.
Wait,
with
you
me.
You said on another podcast that you didn't like when she dipped all this oil, hot wax on your back, and you freaked out.
I was using a massage candle, and suddenly she thought it was funny to take the wax and whip it at me.
Oh, no.
Which was more funny than, but
it wasn't
also
sexy.
Painful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was not expecting that. But no, I'm talking about we just interviewed a comedian who was talking about how she was eating. She was like a little cat.
You like that?
Like a
you
slave
like that
thing?
Yeah, he wanted to dominate her, and so she would be a little kitten
but
drinking milk out of
almond milk.
Not regular,
lactose friendly.
Yes. You got to go back. I think this was like last.
This
last
is Chelsea Skidmore.
Chelsea. This in the same. It was the same interview where she called her mom.
Yes,
it was a good one.
Oh wow, there's a lot happened.
That was a fun
interview.
One.
A lot was
it
going
was
on
the
there.
Most recent one.
It was the most recent. We always think about. I always say that my best podcast is. Like my most it is like today is like our best podcast because we had you guys on.
Yeah.
Aww. I heard you say I was listening to a podcast recently and you said that you fall in love with everyone that you kind of record.
I do.
We fallen in love.
I'm in love.
I came for the gangbang.
Yeah. I'm here for the gangbang.
Gangbang, yay.
We should, we'll definitely record with you two again.
Yeah.
Because it's just awesome.
Fine.
I feel
we'll
like
do it again. And Cam,
family.
If you go to Burning Man this year, we should do a podcast adventure to the dungeon.
Oh,
there's a couple of them,
God.
But
I'm going to go this year too.
Yeah, we could all go to the dungeon
shit.
Together.
Yes, I'm here for the dungeon.
I'll be
she'll be there in spirit.
Nope.
We'll FaceTime you if we have.
I would do a dungeon here in LA, but not in the.
I don't want to go to a dungeon with you, Mom.
No. I do want to go to a porn shoot.
Ooh.
Which I can't believe it has not happened since one of my best friends is an iconic porn star.
Well, you're putting it out there, you're going to manifest it.
It's going to happen. Well,
tell her I want to do that and we will do it, but, well, just haven't done it yet.
Well,
but
don't show up in a hazmat suit. You won't get any fluids on you, okay?
Wait, what? What?
You said you're afraid of the fluids and the juices.
It's flying around.
Flying around
in your eye.
Are you talking about Cam with the juices?
No, you are the one that didn't want the orgy.
Oh, because was it her that also told us she went? Yeah. Chelsea again talked about how she went to a bukkake.
Oh yeah, this is a wild episode.
Oh my god!
Listen to that episode.
I need to listen to that episode.
Because we need to wrap it up. Will you tell our listeners where they can go and listen to this episode and many more?
Wherever you're listening to this podcast, just type in "Sex Talk with My Mom."
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, we're everywhere. We've got a Patreon page. We've got Instagram. We got YouTube. Only place that is not Sex Talk with My Mom is on Twitter, which is Sex Talk Podcast.
Okay, cool.
Hunt them down. Go check it out.
And I know. I hope we can continue this conversation. Check out Sex Talk with My Mom for sure. We recorded. This is the second recording that we've done. So I wish we had hours and hours.
Well, we have a full another
like
hour
Joe
of
Rogan
Sex
style.
Talk with My Mom.
Yeah.
Check it out.
All right.
The party's not over.
Thank you guys so much for having
us.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
It's been wonderful.
And thank you to all of our listeners out there for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. We'll see you next Tuesday, y'all. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.